Welcome to the Green Lines Abundant Living Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. This podcast is produced to help guide you to think and live in spiritual abundance. Now, let's join Dr. Steve Green as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit so we might lead others according to God's purpose.
So I begin this podcast today with a celebration of an anniversary. It may not be something that you're used to celebrating or that you'd even want to think about, but today I celebrate the five-year anniversary of my friend Jordan Lewis passing to heaven. If you've listened to me for very long, you know my relationship with Jordan was one of teacher-student with pastor and someone who attended my church. I had the privilege of doing his wedding to Katie, and I know his parents very well. I know Ron Lewis and Lynette, and the suffering that they went through as they watched their son die of cancer. This is a man, Ron Lewis, is a pastor who ministered all over the world, saw people healed in ministry after ministry, and when he prayed for his own son, he saw a different result. And we're all mature Christians, and we expect sometimes that God's will is misunderstood, and I'm with that, I understand it, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't hurt any less today than it did 5 years ago. When I saw his father lay his body over that casket and just cry, a cry that I never want to hear again. It was rattling to me as a pastor. My strength and my stability and all of my faith were rattled. There was a quake of my faith, very real. But today, I'm a little lighter. Every year, it's not that I'm forgetting or hurting less, but I'm celebrating more the life of Jordan Lewis and the ministry that he has and all that he's done after his death through the raising of funds for all over the world. I want to just tell you one little story about the life of Jordan Lewis and being his pastor, being his teacher, his dean at Oral Roberts University, what I saw in him. I tell this story, and maybe you've heard me tell it. I don't know. I think it's in my book. I can't even remember. But I know that when he carried Katie across the threshold, he said, when we go into this house together, we agree that we will never speak poorly of anyone in our household. It'll never happen. When I spoke with his father today, he said, you know, I want to tell you about something about Jordan. I bet you don't know that I never, and I know all the people who've ever been around him have said exactly the same thing. Jordan never said a cuss word in his life. Now, to some of us, that reaches miracle phase. To not stub your toe and have a bad word to come out of your mouth. This is good. But he never said a bad word in his entire life, according to those who've been around him and know him. But I want to add to that. I haven't met one person who ever heard Jordan Lewis speak poorly of anyone in their life, ever. Certainly his wife, their life together, he didn't. I watched him go through agony. I saw him healed of a cancer. And I saw him really begin a new life full of hope and joy and knowing that he was given a reprieve and he would go forth. And then having that diagnosis come a second time where it had spread through other parts of his body and he lived a very short time. We did the wedding in there. Katie married him knowing that he had a death sentence on his life, but also believing the healing power of the Lord Jesus. He was healed completely. But not in the way that we all wanted him to be healed. So believe it or not, saints that are listening to this podcast, there is celebration in heaven today, his anniversary there. I love Jordan Lewis. I always will. And I celebrate him and a great life that he lived and what a witness this little 20-something-year-old was. I think he died at 23. But when he was a student, I saw students revere him. Respect him, admire him, want to be like him. And that's at a Christian college. That's how I honor him, for the effect that he still has on lives of people all these years later. We've not forgotten him and won't. So I dedicate this powerful podcast, what's going to happen in this show, I dedicate it to the memory of Jordan Lewis, my friend. And someone I want to grow up to be like. So I want to welcome. I've got a little bit different show for you today. I want to welcome. We're not going to talk about a book. we're going to talk about the arts in a much different way, in a way that I think will just bless your socks and your heart and your shoes, and every part of you are going to get blessed by what this group of people with me today, this family, means to each other and what they mean to the gospel and the telling of the gospel in a very unique way. So I want to welcome to the studio Monarch Ministries. It's a powerful ministry that we're going to talk about now. And here's who's with us, Derek Rodriguez and Amy Rodriguez. First of all, I welcome you two here.
Thank you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
And to Kim Kerr. She's a Kimberly, and I like to say the full, excuse me, I like to say the full name because my daughter's a Kimberly, yeah. And we still don't call her Kim. I think all of her friends do now, even people who've known her a long time. But she was a Kimberly all the way through high school. So
Thank you. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So, Derek, I guess I'll start with you to define and talk to us about what is Monarch Ministries.
Very well. Well, again, thank you for having us. Monarch Ministries is a very unique presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a theatrical setting. Mm-hmm. It utilizes Irish step dance, clever English humor, and original song and dance to present to the audience, first of all, the love of God, yes. And to have them fall in love with Jesus.
So you're going to do a theatrical presentation mm-hmm. of the gospel. Mm-hmm. People are going to fall in love with Jesus. There's going to be an altar call at the end of the show. I've already kind of figured that out. So I'm going to have the ladies. In fact, I want the writer to speak to us first. Amy, talk to us about what you did as a playwright, as a mm-hmm. writer. What was your vision and how you put this together?
Well, first of all, Kim and I have known each other since seventh grade. We've been best friends for a very, very long time. And the Holy Spirit started revealing these images, these visions to us of this Renaissance production. We started recording ourselves on horses and, you know, the medieval setting. You know, we fell in love with the Celts. We fell in love with...
Tell me why a writer would have the heart to go back into a medieval time mm-hmm. and write a story really at the time of Luther.
Right. Well, that's how our play starts off. Is the posting of the thesis upon the door. Okay. So we feel like we're ushering in another anti-religious movement, you know, focusing on grace, focusing on God's love and righteousness. And it also teaches spiritual warfare. So we feel like it's time for another one of these movements to show people the real love of God.
So as you define movement here in your work and your ministry and what y'all want to have happen, the center of your movement is grace. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, grace and empowerment.
Okay, empowerment for what? What do you want them to do?
The main character is Monique, who struggles between truth and spirit. The spirit side is kind of an uncomfortable portion of our lives, you know, as mm-hmm. believers. And so we really relate to Monique, and she's trying to convert this washed-up knight wannabe. Yes. And she's trying to use lighthearted, friendly conversation to convert him instead of the real powerful gospel itself, which is played out in the second half. So she learns real quick that he doesn't want anything to do with God or religion unless it's the real deal, you know. And so she has to alter her game. And she has to, like Billy Graham, she has to get right back into the simple gospel message. And in the end, that is the most powerful part of the Monarch play. You know, it starts out very funny. You know, the Irish dance is surely a pull for most people. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. Why did you choose Irish dance to go along with this period?
You know, it's a question I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit one day, you know, God face to face.
It's okay.
But, you know, it happened in church, you know, New Life Christian Fellowship in Jacksonville, Florida, you know, in worship, God started just revealing this vision. And I started writing, you know. Mm-hmm.
Did you start dancing?
We did start dancing.
Were you doing that Clyde Hopper thing?
We didn't know what we were doing. We used a lot of instructional videos and people in the community. But We taught Irish dance, very, very basic. You know, the
Irish dance is affecting. It is contagious, isn't it?
It is. It's addictive. Now, the gal that we are bringing on board is from Galway, and she is professional, and she's bringing in a lot of the dancers that danced in Riverdance and Lord of the Dance and Disney. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're doing this at a whole different level of professionalism. You know, everything we've done so far has been volunteer-based and us just trying to figure it out.
A startup ministry.
Yes.
You're a 501c3 organization?
Yes, we are.
You're not trying to make profit at this?
No.
Wanting to tell a story?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And get our hands on people. Just love on them. You know, that's the goal, is that the production is a seeding, mm-hmm. and then the harvest comes after. And
so Kim, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. You know, we're doing this. You didn't pick a place out in the country to do this, like Eureka Springs, to do a passion play. You come to Orlando and you want to do a play, a musical, a show, a professional presentation where there's Disney and lots of other shows all over the area. Mm-hmm. And I heard in your vision that you want to be excellent and you want to be able to do a quality show at that level and tell the gospel story. Tell me about that vision.
Yeah, definitely. So being in Orlando, so if you look at Monarch as a mission, you know, we send people out to over the world to do mission work. Well, the nations are here. The nations are in Orlando.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how many people, over 100 million people come to Orlando, and we have an opportunity to give them something faith-based, something that's going to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So, Amy, I want to drill down there a little bit, because I've heard you say it, and I really think this is a message of the podcast. It's one of the takeaways for me, and that's that you want to give them a memorable experience that is of equal quality to anything they would see here.
Yes.
That's admirable and that's good. Mm-hmm. But let's take the next step. It's here because the world comes to us here in Orlando. Most of our listeners know that this podcast is generated right from, you know, from a little bit north of Orlando. Mm-hmm. And we know that this is a melting pot city.
Right.
That they come from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Multiple millions of people every day coming into Orlando, and that's how you're going to reach the world.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that part.
Yeah, so, you know, we are to go into all the world. I wrote a song called Evangelion that I dedicated to my father, one of the best evangelists I've ever known. And his voice is on the bridge, and it recites our commission, you know, go into all the world. Well, you know, that's where we are here in Orlando. The world is coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
And through the popularity of shows like Riverdance and Lord of the Dance, those are our trailblazers, so to speak. And
so in other words, they made people aware of this dance
of
and
the
how
amazing,
communicative
beautiful,
it is.
Yes.
And you tell a story in that dance all the time.
Exactly. And if you want to tell a story of romance, like we long to tell people, that's the setting.
So people are going to leave feeling good about themselves. They're going to have a nice, clean, pure show.
Yes.
That'll be done but with Christian spiritual leaders telling this story of the gospel. And you're going to end with an opportunity to be blessed, have hands laid on.
Yes.
Tell me about why you have that as part of your show. One of you.
Well, I'm a Caris Bible College student here in Lake Mary, and I long to minister. And I have access to many teams in the area that long
to
minister.
Of them here.
Yes, a lot from different churches all over, in different ministries. So that would be our new volunteer base.
Mm-hmm.
Are those people that want to come and minister afterward? But
and yet they've got to have the talent to match a Disney or a Universal. Or
exactly. So we need the professionalism of our you know, Amanda Finnegan of the, you know, Finnegan School of Dance. You know, the skill set.
Not too shabby.
The script is, if I do say so myself, very funny. People love it and relate to it.
So you're a humor writer.
tend to be.
That's
yes,
hard
she's
to
funny
do. That's one of the hardest types of writing to do because humor is so personal.
Yes.
You know, what's funny to you is not
but
funny
a
to me.
Lot of,
I'm not funny. I know this.
Yes. But a lot of church people will relate to this humor of how we go about awkwardly trying to share the gospel. There are little strategies, you know, and in the end, it's just tell them about the story of Jesus, you know.
That's simple.
Yeah, the second half is more like an Easter cantata, but it's more in an ethereal environment, you know, more of that medieval environment that people are drawn to. That
so costumes are going to be expensive.
I'm sorry?
You're going to have expensive costumes.
Oh, very expensive. Yes. We've been doing this since 2001, troubleshooting, so we put a lot of our own money into it. But
do you have a seamstress that's been sewing, or are you buying these outfits?
Yes, we've had many.
We have. Over the years, we've put them through a lot.
A lot of different types of costumes that we've put those pictures way far away in the archives,
Yes. So, oh, I want to see them. I can't wait.
I
wish I could show them on the podcast.
I don't.
Don't despise
I really
new
don't.
Beginnings.
Yeah,
that's
don't
right.
despise new beginnings.
Or small
exactly.
beginnings.
Small beginnings, right.
Small beginnings.
So I want to know more about some of the times you've shown your story at churches. Tell me about how churches have responded to this. I have a feeling this is a hard show to get in, to get a pastor to allow you to show it. How has that worked out for you?
Well, that's an interesting question because, explaining Monarch verbally, had been a challenge in the past. You know, it is different. It is the arts. It is out of the box, but we'd explain it and you just have to be there. So they would come to the show, all ages would come to the shows. And after the show, they would come up to us and they'd say, I got it. Yes.
Right.
I see it. Wow. What an amazing.
What is the it that they get? Just to make sure that we're hammering this home.
The presence of God.
The presence.
So the Lord is with the show. And,
yes.
And why do you think God's blessing it so much? What is it that he wants this show to do?
I think it's the free spirited evangelism that we invoke
Irish dance
among our audience. Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, it's time for that. It's time to start sharing Jesus out of the abundance of the heart, out of an overflow of the love of the Father.
So let's go down the road, ladies, gentlemen. We're a year down the road, maybe 2 years down the road. What's happening with Monarch? Where's the show? What's your vision for that time frame? And when can I buy a ticket?
So our very first show this year is going to be where we left off in Ponte Vedra Concert Hall in Jacksonville, because that's where many of our supporters are, being that Kim and I are from Jacksonville, natives of Jacksonville.
And they know the show. They know the story.
They know the show, yes. And so they are ready to support us and fill the theaters for 3 days.
Did you see a lot of repeat people come back to see it often? Is it the kind of show that you want to see again?
Yes, it is. We're hoping to fill the theaters for 3 days in Jacksonville at the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall. So that's going to be in November. We have a lot of fundraising to do between now and then.
Okay.
Because
so is that available on your website? Can we get
yes,
that information and
that link
and support you? I know you're a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that link, how we can find out about when your show is going to be, where it's going to be. But more than that, how we can support saints. Listen, we've got to support the arts, especially arts that are God-based, God-driven, God-breathed.
Yes.
That if we don't, the arts aren't going to be there for us. They're not going to have anything to show that we want to see.
Right.
You know, there's lots of arts available, but not necessarily things we can take our family to. So tell us, first of all, your website.
Our website is www.monarchplays.com.
Monarchplays.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's easy enough. And what's there? When I get to that website, what will we find?
You'll find links to our music. We have two albums that have come out of the show. On iTunes and Spotify, streaming everywhere
is
where you
selling?
Can find music.
And people find it and buy it?
It has through the years.
Right.
You know, this is basically Monarch 2.0 that's coming out now.
Okay.
So we're ministering to a whole new audience. And
is the music new?
The music is not new.
Doesn't need to be, does it?
No, it's never been done on this level. So Monarch 2.0 is where we are actually introducing the show that we've envisioned for almost 20 years now.
What's changed between 1 and 2? What happened? What lightning bolt hit this ministry and said, now's the time?
A feeling of urgency.
Good.
A feeling of urgency, a feeling of worthiness. Mm-hmm. Because when you pull something out of the box like this, you know, I would run things through Kim. I'm like, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. Am I being weird? She's like, yeah, you're being weird, but I think that's,
like, what did you eat
that's
last
us,
night?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean.
Let's do weird.
Yeah.
Yes, let's do weird.
Our first.
In the name of Jesus.
Our first day out of the gate, you know, we were filming a video for Evangelion, and the horse knocked me off, and I fell, and the horse almost fell on top of me. It was, you know, a great, it's kind of this epic medieval moment. But
were people supposed to laugh?
Yeah. Well, it was funny later, but I did break my wrist in two places.
Oh,
and so I'm like, this is a great way to start out our ministry of real Renaissance women, you know. So, but we go to the Renaissance fairs. You know, we see what's going to draw not only the church, but the world. You know, the world is into spiritualism. They haven't put a name to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knows that there's a God. Everybody wants God. They just don't know how to find him. And when we feel very, very sure that whenever we present the script to them, we're going to relate to them on such a real, intimate way, a soul mm-hmm. level, that they're going to get it. They're going to get grace. Grace is going to be predominantly in their minds.
Help our listeners, just before we end this podcast, help our listeners get grace. Help us to wrap, because it's so hard, so hard. And you're a writer, so you had to get to a place that many of us don't have to get to understand what the Lord's saying to us about our personal grace. Mm-hmm. How did you come to a corporate grace that you can share a message with an audience about grace? What's in your heart about it?
The Father's love. You know, Jesus came to reunite us with our Father. He did not call us into a religion, but into an experiential romance. And when you find God face to face, then you will know what grace is. Yeah. And nobody will be able to tell you, because you'll know it deep within yourself, and you'll feel it. God is meant to be experienced and known and known. So we have to continue with this balance of truth and spirit.
Amen.
To fully know him.
Well, that's a good word, and I'm really glad you're here to share it with us. Derek, do you have anything to share with what we've just heard from these ladies?
Well, first of all, that I am very, very proud to be part of Monarch Ministries. From my perspective, I just want to share that the very first time that I experienced the production, because you don't watch it, you experience it. So the first time I experienced this production, it was very moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the overwhelming thought that has dominated me ever since is the world has to see this. It is that good. And I am just so, so excited because what's about to happen, it's truly miraculous. And it is the vision of my wife and Kimberly for 18 years now. And so it's a long time coming. They've worked so hard, and what's about to happen, it's the culmination of all of that believing and seeding into something that is real and meaningful.
Yes. Well, Kim, would you give us the website again?
Yes, it's www.monarchplays.com.
Monarchplays.com. I love your voice. I love the W. I can't do that. W. I do www.
Or I could do www.
Yeah, it's a little more Oklahoma. That could be a good musical someday.
Oklahoma.
Well, it's been an honor to have you all
thank
in the
you
studio.
So much. Thank
having
you.
Us.
We're going to be praying for you for this ministry. And can't wait for updates. We're going to have you back as you have news. Just let's schedule it. When you have something to tell our audience, I think they're going to pay attention. We'll get you some good coverage up on our news sites. And we'll keep people aware of, we need to know what the arts are doing to spread the gospel. It's an important part of our life. We don't want it to go away or to be taken over by an evil side. We want to be able to tell the good news as much as we can.
Amen.
Yes.
Anything to add before we close?
We love you.
Amen. Well, I love this ministry, and I love what the Lord is doing with it, and I can't wait to see it from a front row seat, or maybe middle. Give me a symphony seat. You've been listening to Green Lines on the Charisma Podcast Network. This is Steve Green. God bless you all.
You've heard of weather freeze warnings, but I bet you've never heard of a tuition freeze warning. Liberty University has issued a tuition freeze to bring affordability back to private education. And Liberty isn't just freezing tuition and room and board. It's also offering innovative financial solutions to help you get the education you want without the extra financial burden you don't. Text TUITION to 839-858 to take advantage of a freeze on your tuition costs.
Thank you for listening to the Green Lines podcast. If you would like a copy of Dr. Green's book, Love Leads, visit loveleadsbook.com. To contact Dr. Green, email greenlines@charismamedia.com.